from Psalm 118, a psalm that is known, Psalm 18 is known as the final in a group of psalms called the Hallelujah Psalms, that were songs that were sung traditionally by the Jewish people at the Feast of Passover. They would begin with Psalm 113 and conclude by singing Psalm 118 as they would gather together and have the Passover celebration. They would sing these psalms. The first two songs, Psalm 113 and 114, were sung before the Passover meal as they would have the Passover meal together. And then the final four would be sung at the end after they enjoyed their Passover meal. Psalm 118 was known as a song of thanksgiving to God for his salvation, which was the theme. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation, was taken from the song of Moses that Moses sang after the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt and they had crossed the Red Sea. So this whole song is a song about God's deliverance for his people. The last song, this would have been the last song sung at the Passover. So after the Passover being the last song, this is what Jesus had sung last before they had departed from the Passover meal and had gone into the Garden of Gethsemane where he would be facing the cross and a few hours later. Psalm 118 traditionally has also been referred to as a psalm relating to messianic about Jesus and his coming and was quoted by the New Testament authors referring to the coming of Jesus and Palm Sunday story. So let's look together at Psalm 118. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Then we're going to drop down to verses 19 through the end. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and from the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he that has made his light shine upon us, and with boughs in hand, join the festive procession up to the horns of the altar. For you are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. And the Lord adds his blessing to the reading together and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that indeed you are our salvation. And you are indeed our good. And we thank you that your love and your faithfulness endures forever. Does not fail us, does not wane, does not run out. But we thank you that you are faithful always. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that through your word, you would encourage our hearts this morning. And again, prepare us to meet with you at your table as we remember you coming to us and the coming of the King to reign in our hearts and to this bring us into your kingdom that we could become your children. Thank you for Jesus and what you've done through him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During our Lenten series together on Wednesday nights, we have been focusing in on a theme this year called Perspectives and Reflections on Christ's Countercultural Thinking. And we've been looking at different ways and perspectives on how Christ has called us to live different than the world around us. And each of the thoughts that we focused on began with the letter P. And I just want to review some of them for those of you that haven't been on our Wednesday night services, but we began with the first one, pretense. And it was focusing on the fact that the Lord calls us to live a life of removing the masks, not pretending to be, but being honest and being real before Jesus, not being hypocritical, not seeking to cover anything over, but to come to Christ as we are, taking off the masks and coming to Him without pretense and being real before our Savior. Then the next week we focused on probation, Jesus being tempted and tested in the wilderness, that our Lord calls us through a time of testing, and that runs counter to our culture as well, because we don't like to go through those times. We don't want those. We want life to be pleasant for us. But Lord uses those times of testing to refine our faith and help us to grow in Him. Then the third week, we focused in on that word persecution. Boy, there's a word we don't want to hear. We talked about how living the Christian faith today, and we can expect persecution and hardship. And the Bible says that those who live godly in Christ will endure and suffer persecution. That's counter to our culture. And then we focused on the word penitence. And Ralph shared on that one. And that's coming before God with sincere repentance in our heart. And coming before the Lord in the time of repentance. And then we focused on the word prodigious. Being extravagant, that God was extravagant in His love for us, and the way He showed that love and extravagance, and that we as well, and we talked there about focusing in on Jesus' love for those who were sinners, and Jesus' love for us is that same way. Then we closed this last Wednesday night on focusing on perfume, on Mary's gift that she had given to Christ, and what we give lavishly to God and what it costs us. There was one more in those perspectives that we didn't address as we went through that week, and I'm going to address it this morning, and that's the word P, last one, procession, which focuses in on Palm Sunday and focuses in on the scripture that we have before us tonight. Turn with me and keep your finger in Psalm 118, but turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Because as we look at the events of this day, and the procession, a parade that was happened on Palm Sunday, it was when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem amidst the great throng, riding on a donkey that He had borrowed, as the people jubilantly lifted up their palm branches and prayed, Hosanna to the King, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And He processed into the city amidst of great praise and celebration on that Palm Sunday morning, on that Sunday early. It was a day that the Passover lambs were presented to the temple to be offered because Passover was coming, and it was the time that the lambs would be brought into the temple for sacrifice. And it was Jesus was coming in. But Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32, Mark records that they were on their way up to Jerusalem for this very purpose. It says they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. And again, He took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to Him. He said, we're going up to Jerusalem, He said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed into the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And they will condemn Him to death and hand Him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock Him, spit on Him, flog Him, and kill Him. 3 days later, He will rise. As they were entering Jerusalem, Jesus was leading the way, this procession, into the city of Jerusalem with a purpose. Jesus knew exactly what was happening. It was for this reason He came. And He told the disciples here, leading the way, we're going to go into the city of Jerusalem. And there I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be spit upon. And I'm going to be handed over. And I'm going to be killed on a cross. They didn't understand it. And He said, but 3 days later I will rise. And we find out that this was the third time that Jesus had told them what was going to happen to Him. Disciples still didn't get it. And we read right after this, right after Jesus told them He was going to go into the city and die, what did the disciples do? James and John came to Jesus and said, when You come into Your kingdom, can we sit one on one side and one on the other? And led a dispute amongst the disciples, and they began to argue over who was the greatest. The time before that, Jesus told them He was going to die. And again, every time Jesus told them He was going to die, the disciples got into an argument over who the greatest one was. that just didn't catch it. But Jesus had a purpose, and it was for that reason he came. This procession that he led into the city on Palm Sunday morning, this parade of celebration, was a fulfillment of why Jesus left heaven, of a plan that God put in place since the foundation of the world, that when we had fallen into sin, that there would be a way to restore us back to himself. And now this was about to be fulfilled as Jesus processed into the city with an intent purpose to bring about our redemption. Psalm 118, as we look at Psalm 118, we see that purpose being fulfilled in Jesus and being illustrated in this psalm. Psalm 118 being quoted by the New Testament authors as being fulfilled in Jesus. But we see the purpose of Christ entering the city prostrate here. And the first purpose was that Jesus moves down forward. He comes forward with purpose, even though it was going to lead from triumph to tragedy. When Jesus was going to go into the city, it was a great triumph at the beginning. Everybody was praising him. Hosanna to the King. Save now. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The city was astir. It was a great triumph in Jesus' day. But within four to five days later, that same mob, instead of saying praise to the King, you remember what they yelled out then? Crucify him. And even though Jesus knew that, he processed into the city in the midst of triumph, even though he knew it was going to lead to tragedy. And that's what we remember this morning as we celebrate, that he had come for the purpose of giving his life, to pay the price, to bring salvation. That's why blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That even through, because it is through the tragedy that the triumph emerges. Amen? It is through the tragedy of the cross that brings the true triumph of salvation and eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus. If it wasn't for the cross, and if it wasn't for Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on purpose, we would have been lost in our sin. And that's what we celebrate, and that's what we remember this morning. So it was a procession with purpose, and the first was so that we could know the wonders of his love. Psalm verses 1 and through 3 says, "Let give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." And you go down to verse 29, again it says that his love endures forever. And the psalmist begins by calling three different groups of people to praise God for his love. First was the nation of Israel as a whole. Let all those in the nation of Israel praise God for his love. And then the house of Aaron designated the priests, those who served in the priesthood. Then those who feared the Lord took it down to those who actually knew God and feared him as Lord and reverenced him. But praising God for his love, for the wonders of his love that endures forever. And that was why Jesus processed into the city. That was why he was coming, leading that parade, to give himself on the cross so that we could see and know and experience how much he loved us. The scripture says God demonstrated his love for us in this. That while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. So that we could know the wonders of that love, he came into the city to die. The day that the Passover lambs were presented, knowing full well, as we saw in Mark, Jesus leading the way intentionally, knowing that he was going there to die so that his love would be fulfilled and demonstrated for us. Today we remember that as we partake the bread and the cup. We partake again in a celebration of his love for you. His love that allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed. And as you receive the bread and the cup again this morning, come with thanksgiving as you hold that in your hand and receive it, of the wonder of how much God loved you as you receive the bread and cup this morning. And the wonder of what that is, of what he's done for you. The purpose, the procession with purpose, so that you would know how much you were loved. And you know, if you would have been the only person alive on the face of the earth, Jesus would have entered the city of Jerusalem and went to the cross and died just for you. That's how much love he has for you. And so just be in awe of the wonder of that love. But secondly, it was a procession of purpose so that he could open the door for us. As we go down to verse 19, in the parts in between there, between verses 4 through 18, he talks about God's presence with us and God's power. And through God's presence and power, when we're surrounded and when we feel overwhelmed, and part of Jesus had come as well to bring the presence of God to us. But dropping down to verse 19, what says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness that I may enter in." Verse 20 says, "This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter." Of course, it's referring to the city of Jerusalem, but it's referring more specifically to Jesus himself. Jesus was the one who opened the door of righteousness for us. And he is the gate through which the righteous enter. Turn with me to John chapter 10. It should be 10, not 11. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. Jesus here speaking to his disciples, teaching the crowd, teaching us about himself and why he came in that procession with purpose. In verse 7, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me," what does it say? "Will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full." Jesus went in to the city of Jerusalem, leading the parade, the procession with purpose, so that he could open for you and me the doors of salvation. The psalmist says, "Open to us the doors of righteousness so that we may enter in." And that was opened up through Jesus Christ on the cross when he gave himself for you and for me, that all who will may be entered in and be saved. So we celebrate that this morning as we come together in remembrance of him. So he is the gate, providing the way, one way he opened up salvation. But also we're going to go to Matthew, because he is also the cornerstone or the capstone that was rejected. Verse 22 and 23 says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. And the Lord has done this. It is marvelous in his eyes. If we go to Matthew 21, chapter 21, in the reference to the Palm Sunday accounts, we see the scripture being quoted by Jesus. All four gospel writers, as they talk about the events of Palm Sunday, they have Jesus sharing this scripture in fulfillment to himself as to why he came into the city and why he came to bring us salvation. If you look at the context of chapter 21, it begins by Jesus entering the city on a donkey, on verse 1, and it goes through the Palm Sunday story. And then he goes into the temple and cleanses the temple there. And then the religious leaders say, "What authority do you have to do this?" And they say, tell the children to be silent, because the children are saying, "Hosanna." They said, "Tell the kids to be quiet. Tell your followers to be quiet." And Jesus says, "If they stay silent, the stones and rocks will cry out." This is a fulfillment. And so then he told them a parable, and they challenged his authority, and they said, "Why are you doing this?" So we pick up at verse 33. He said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it, and he dug a wine press in it, and he built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to collect the tenants to collect the fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, stoned the third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw his son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the house comes, what will he do with those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give them his share of the crop at harvest time. And Jesus said to them, haven't you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and the Lord has done this. It is marvelous in his eyes, in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls in the stone will be broken to pieces, but on him to whom it falls, it will be crushed. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. And they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people knew he was a prophet. Jesus told this story, and as they rejected him, he said, a man had a vineyard and sent one after another to get the crops, and every single one of them was killed. That was referring to the prophets, all the prophets of the Old Testament that were sent, and Israel kept rejecting the message of God's truth. Finally, Jesus himself came, and they rejected and killed him. And Jesus said, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone, the foundation upon which we build our life. And it was that rock, Jesus himself, that we build our life upon, the rock of salvation, the Jesus who he is. See, he had come to open up to us the door of salvation. But third, in this procession of victory, he entered the city so that we could share in his victory. The psalm goes on and says, O Lord, verse 25, O Lord, save us and grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we will praise you. The Lord is God. He has made us light shine upon us, and with bows in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. And this was a picture of victory. Whenever the Jews, in that day, they would wave palm branches, it was a sign of victory and celebration. It was usually done at a military victory. When there was a military victory parade, people would wave palm branches in celebration of the victory that was won. And when Jesus was entering the city, they were raising the palm branches. They thought the day of deliverance from Rome has come. They had missed the point. But here, he's saying, with bows in hand, we go up to the horn of the altar. And Jesus had come so that we could share in that victory, that when he went to the cross and he died there, and his last words were, it is finished. The battle was won. Satan was conquered. Sin was defeated. And Christ won that victory for us. Secured it on the resurrection when he rose again. And because he rose, he won that victory, and we share in that. As we share the Lord's table this morning, we remember that it was because Jesus entered that city to die, to open the door of salvation for you and me, to show the wonders of his love for us, and so that we could share in the victory, because the cross was not defeat. The cross was victory, amen? And we share in that when we share with Jesus. And we partake, and we remember, and we celebrate this morning. So as we come to share in the Lord's table, around this table this morning, prepare with me in a time of prayer, as we always do on Communion Sundays, as we join together in a prayer of confession and consecration to prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord at his table. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus and what you have done for us in sending him and the wonderful demonstration of your love. We thank you that Jesus intently went to the city of Jerusalem and led that procession with purpose to fulfill your plan that was put into motion way before the world was even created, so that we would know the wonders of your great and marvelous love for us. So we would know how much you love us. so that you could open up to us the door of salvation and that we could enter in and be saved. And so that we could share in your victory and knowing that Satan is defeated, someday you will return. We will reign with you and all will be made new. The Lord's table reminds us not only of what you've done for us in the past, but your presence with us now, but also the hope that we have of sitting down with you around your table again in heaven. As you said, you will not eat of the fruit of the vine again until the day you drink it anew and eat it anew with us in your coming kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for the bread, a visible reminder of your body broken for us, of your love demonstrated for us through Jesus. Lord, we consecrate the bread to you and we consecrate ourselves to you that as we partake today, we would be refreshed and nourished, and again, that as you gave yourself for us, we give ourselves for you. And Father, we thank you for the cup, a visible reminder of your blood shed to pay the price for our sin, to take the penalty and the payment that we deserved, and to pay the price as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. We thank you, Lord, that your blood was sufficient to pay the price of all sin and to make us clean and right before you. So, Lord, we consecrate the cup to you and we consecrate ourselves to you. Prepare us to come and to meet at your table this morning in remembrance and in celebration of who you are, of what you've done, and in gratitude that you went into the city and with purpose to give your very life for us. And we thank you that you didn't stay dead, but you are ever living, ever alive, ever interceding for us till this day when you come and you set your kingdom here. So, Father, we are grateful. We are thankful. Meet with us at your table this morning as we come to remember and celebrate. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.